This podcast is brought to you by sarahraven.com, which is home to everything you need for a truly beautiful and productive garden. You'll also find great and essential gardening kit and stylish, lovely things to have in your house to bring the outside indoors, all inspired by the garden and the house being tied together. There's also plenty of garden inspiration, how-to videos and specialist growing guides. So head over to sarahraven.com today to discover even more. Welcome to Grow Cookie to Range, the podcast of me, Sarah Raven, and lots of other interesting horticulturalists and guests. And today I'm joined by Jemima Bowker, who I've worked with now for 3 years. She first came to Purchill as an intern, and I thought she was so wonderful. I tried to persuade her to stay, and so I offered her a job. And she'd been at Dixter, and she'd been at Gravetye, and then she came back here, and she has been running all our events here for the last couple of years, and now is helping me pull together a whole sort of new part of the Sarah Raven product umbrella, which is aimed at beginner gardeners and young people like Jemima. So welcome, Jemima. It's lovely to have you on the podcast.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
So I call her Mimes. Mimes has been gardening now for 3 or 4 years. And so she's not a total beginner, but on the other hand, she remembers very clearly when she was, and she very much wants to create a garden in an urban, in a city setting in London, in fact. And so anyway, over to Jemima, really. So what we're going to do in this first one is she has chosen 12 of her favourite plants that she got to know over the years that she was working at Perch that will suit an urban setting and also are easy to grow. So they're ideal for beginner gardeners. Now, I'm wittering on far too long, but just quickly to say, obviously, beginner gardeners can be any age. Jemima happens to be in her very early 30s, but what we hope is that this will appeal to you whether you're 10, 20, 30, 50, 100. So, Mimes, what are the things that you would really like to grow that you know are easy to grow from seed particularly?
So I have a bit of a list here, which I'm excited to go through with you. I guess one thing worth bearing in mind is that although I've spent loads of time in different gardens and a lot of time in the garden at Perch Hill, one area that I don't think I've spent as much time or put as much focus in is the propagation side. So I'm excited to chat through the actual seed sowing methods as well, because I think that is something where I definitely could have more knowledge on. So my number one is calendula. They are everywhere at Perch Hill. We use them for all the salads. They're vibrant and colourful and edible and notoriously are very easy to grow and quick to germinate. I love the touch of red mix because I love all the ones that have that amazing kind of crimson reverse. I just think it's a really nice contrast, and I prefer them to the kind of just pure orange or yellow ones. Mm. So I love that they're edible. I think you could grow them in pots or they can be on edges of borders. So for both beginners and small space urban gardeners alike, I think they are pretty easygoing and low maintenance. So I think I'd sow them in a gutter, but you might have other ideas.
I think, to be honest, they're one of the few things that I might even sow direct. I mean, I'm not a great direct sower, i.e. where you just put the seed straight into the garden. But calendulas really are so reliable. They want to germinate for you. But if you want them to be even quicker and quicker to flower, I would sow them in a gutter. So go to a builder's merchant, get maybe a couple of meters of gutter pipe. You can either get them to cut it down there with a hacksaw, or you can do it when you get home into small, short sections. And then sow the seed, I mean, about an inch apart, which sounds like a lot. But the point about that is that you can get your hand, your sort of fingers pointing down, almost like a knife, between plant one and plant two. So you push plant one out into the border, or if it's a big pot, and then you move your hand along another inch and push plant two out. But I'm actually going to plant plant one and plant two 30 centimetres apart, because that's what they need. So they've only been an inch, so 2 to 3 centimetres or whatever, from the next one in the gutter. But then that's the beauty of the gutters, is that you're then spacing them widely. So actually a tiny gutter creates a lot of calendula or a lot of whatever you're sowing in them. So that is how I would sow calendula, touch of red mix. And it's a great choice, wonderful cut flower, and also fantastic for pollinators. So really rich in pollen and nectar.
They do have a long flowering time, but do they keep, are they cut and come again, essentially? They'll keep coming back?
Yeah. They very much are. So never cut them to the ground, cut them to above a leaf on the stem, and then that will form a, what's called an axillary bud. And that forms next week's flower or 10 days' time's flower. The one thing is they're hardy annuals, so you can sow them a month before you want to put them out in the garden, or put them out in the garden, or sow them direct from the middle of April. But they do tend to get mildew on their leaves once it gets hot and dry in the summer. So if you're organic, which we are, you can try treating that with bicarbonate of soda mixed with a teaspoon of sunflower oil. Well, put into water, about, you know, a jug, a sort of litre of water, teaspoon of sunflower oil, and a teaspoon of liquid soap, you know, like some non-chemical liquid soap, not fairy liquid, because that's very chemical, and water. So you've got your bicarb, your water, your sunflower oil, and your Ecover. And you can try spraying that from the moment you plant them out once a week, and that will keep mildew at bay. Or you can just decide, I'm taking out my calendula, I'm putting in my cosmos, and it's fine if they've got mildew, you can move on. So up to you.
And the flower, the petals are still normally quite lovely, so you can still be using those in on your salads.
Exactly. Great.
Yeah, I love them. They're just so happy and a great colour, and quite early on in the summer as well. Right, next is Zinnia Elegans Queenie Lime Red. I just think is that the first year I was at Purchill, I wasn't that wild about them. And then last summer, I just absolutely love them. I love how they are, when they first are coming out, they're kind of lime, pale kind of lime, acid green. And then they kind of gradually get bigger and bigger and turn into this kind of big, dusky, red, antique-y, amazing flower. And I just, they have such an amazing vase life as well. So I really love zinnias now. I think I'd have them, if I had a small little bed, you know, in a nice little corner, I'd have them planted with lots of other things, because I do find that on their own, they're quite a stiff plant. So I think they need nice, soft things around them to kind of soften them up. But I think they are beautiful. But the thing that I know, they are, people find them tricky because they have massive issues with root disturbance.
Yeah.
But if you can avoid that, are they quite easy to grow?
Yes. So again, a gutter or perhaps a jiffy, so like a pellet. And so one seed into a coir jiffy, and then you don't need to disturb the roots at all. You sow one seed, you don't put two, because then you'd have to pull one out. Allow them to germinate and grow on for about 10 days, 2 weeks, and then just remove the net from the jiffy and pop them in. Literally, you can dib them in like a leek, and they'll be happy as Larry.
And zinnias are, I always remember you saying, don't plant them out until you sit and have supper outside.
Well remembered. Yes, excellent.
You're teaching me well. Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. They hate cold nights.
And I don't think that would work particularly well in a pot. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think for other varieties, like the little jazzy mix ones, I think are amazing in pots. And I mean, there's so many zinnias, but I love that Queenie Lime Red. I just think it's so beautiful and classy, and I love it.
Really good choice. And next?
And next up, and I am going to probably pronounce this wrong, so correct me if I'm wrong, but Schizanthus wissetonensis, Dr. Badger's hybrid mix, is a bit of a mouthful. But we had them in pots at Purchill in kind of early summer. So I think they were sown in autumn. Mm. And they are quite tall and elegant, and they've got this kind of ferny foliage with kind of butterfly-ish delicate flowers in pale purple to that kind of honesty purple colour. Mm. And I just love them. When there wasn't a huge amount else going on, I thought they were amazing. And when we were about to cut them back after they'd kind of gone over, we kept them and we used them in flower arrangements in the shop at Purchill. And they lasted in the vase for like 2.5 weeks, I think, or maybe even longer. So they were amazing, but I've only ever seen them growing in pots. I mean, would you grow them in the ground?
You can. They've got very delicate stems. I mean, I could call them flimsy, but that's a bit derogatory. So if we grow them outside, we always grow them up through a nest of like hazel or birch sticks, because they really are very fragile. So I totally adore them, and I would stake them also in a pot. So, but they, you know, wind is not their friend, if you see what I mean. So that's why, in a way, in a pot, in a very sheltered spot, or even in a greenhouse or on a window ledge in a house, they are perfect. But they're not tender. They're just not robust in the stem.
And the bees love them as well. I think they're so beautiful. And also, I think last year when they'd gone over, the pot itself had a whole load of seedlings at the bottom. So they'd self-seeded. So then it just went again, and we had them later on in the summer. So it just kept on giving. I love them.
Very good.
Next up is Linaria Sweeties Mix. I've sat in on lots of your courses, which I love. And I always remember you saying, if you sow one thing and you really think growing from seed is just too scary and terrifying, then just grab a pack of this Sweeties Mix or any Linaria and scatter it in a pot, and you will have amazing flowers in, I don't know, 12 weeks.
Yeah, they're really quick, really quick.
So I just think, for me, I'm kind of renting at the moment, and I'm moving around, and so I've not got a kind of permanent garden of my own. And so, you know, I've got some pots that I lug with me from house to house. And so this is a really quick, easy thing that I can do. And I think they cut quite well as well. I don't know what the vase life is like, but I just think they're very elegant and
really good, actually. Just to make them last even better in the vase, just put the stem end into boiling water for, honestly, just dip in and out and then into cold. And that does actually really help them. And then they'll last about 10 days in the vase. They're very delicate. They look like tiny mini snapdragons or antirrhinums.
Yeah, I think they're great. So I would definitely love to grow some of those from seed. And it's just, you make it seem like it's so easy and attainable. I think literally anyone could do that if they have a pot full of some compost and a bit of space. So I would, that would be a first stop, I think, for anyone that really was feeling daunted by growing from seed. And then this has one of my favorite plants. It's a bit of a soft spot for me, is the Scabious Black Cat, which I had in my bouquet for my wedding. So, and I just absolutely love it. And the thing that I thought was so amazing, which is why I think it's good for gardeners with a small garden and beginners, is because its flowering period is so long. It just goes on and on. I remember we were picking it at the beginning of June, and I think we kept on going until October.
Yeah.
And it's these kind of pincushion like flowers with like very long wiry stems that quite often have really nice kind of natural kinks in them, which I love for arranging. They've got a good vase life. The pollinators love them.
What's not to like?
I know, literally. I just absolutely love them. I think I will want to have them at my fingertips every summer, every year from now. But I've never grown them from seed. So would you grow them in a seed tray?
Yeah, I would. So you probably don't, because they get quite big. You probably want to space them in the end at about 45 centimetres, so 18 inches. So in a small garden, you probably wouldn't want more than 10 or 12 plants, do you think? And so, yes, sow them into a half seed tray. Because what I find is, if you're sowing seeds in a seed tray and you've got a packet that's got, let's say, 50 seeds in it, you've got the space. So you think, oh, well, chuck them in. I might as well. I'm really bad at this. I'm not going to succeed. So the more I sow, the more likely I am to succeed. And in fact, that just isn't true, and it's just wasteful. And so I would literally almost pick out 12 seeds. So put them into the palm of your hand and then individually place them. And they look like mini paintbrushes. They're incredibly distinctive, scabious seeds. They're really lovely. And you genuinely can very easily space them. And I would space them 4 centimetres apart, so they've got a good amount of space between them. And then you can literally, with a dessert spoon, a pudding spoon, from the seed tray, you can just dig them out with a dessert spoon and plop them straight in the garden. And it's just so basic. You don't need any kit. And they honestly will flower. So if you sow them in spring, they'll flower from early June almost until Christmas.
Are they quite happy in any soil?
They love sun, and they're very tolerant of pH, and they're very tolerant of soil texture and drainage. So I grow them here on heavy clay, and actually the bed that we grew them in for your wedding is actually still sits pretty heavy in clay. It's very thick with clay. And they thrived, but I've also seen them growing very happily in my mother's gardens on chalk. So I think they're really tolerant.
Yeah, I love them. I think they're my, at the moment, I think they're my favourite thing.
Good.
Okay, next up is Viola Tiger Eye Red. I mean, I love all the Violas. I also was tempted to say the Frizzle Sizzle ones because I do love those frizzly ones. But the Tiger Eye Red one is just very, very beautiful. And when it's backlit and it's kind of terracottery, golden, crimson kind of petals, it's just so pretty. I like to have something on my pots over the winter when everything else is looking a bit sad. So I just think that would be the time that I'd want to have them, really, when there's not much else going on and all the pots have been planted up with tulips and they're looking a bit bare. So I don't know, what time of year, if I'm aiming for that, what time of year would I be selling those?
So if you want them through the winter, then you want to start thinking of sowing sort of end of August, beginning of September. If you want them in spring, then you want to start sowing February into early March. So it really depends when you want them. But they are easy to germinate. Seed tray probably, but again, probably a half seed tray would be enough, or maybe a whole seed tray if you want lots of pots. But if you want them for winter, then start in late summer.
And you'd never sow those direct?
I don't think I would, because I think your pots at that time of year are going to be full with other things. And so, you know, you're going to have to dismember a pot to then give it space. So I would sow them on a window ledge, if you don't have a cold frame or anything, and do them straight from the seed tray, you don't need to prick them out, just put them straight into the pot.
Yeah, and I love them for pressing as well, because Arthur back last year sometime gave me a lovely little flower press, and I just think they're so, so beautiful. So they've got to be there at some stage. Next up is Cosmos. There are so many to choose from, but I find the one that whenever I was picking flowers for events at Perch Hill that I would always go back to and was always there and looking really fab and never looking too sad is the Double Click Cranberries. I just love it because it's a little bit frilly. It's an amazing rich pink colour. And obviously, Cosmos are amazing, cut and come again. So if you have a small space, you can get so much out of them. If you're a beginner, they just keep on giving and they just keep producing. So I think they are, I mean, Cosmos are amazing, but I just love these Double Click Cranberries ones. And they're obviously also great for pollinators too. So I would definitely have them in my garden. I guess the thing that would be good to talk about is the importance of pinching out. And would we sow them in modules or individual pots? Or
I would sow them probably in a jiffy, or a module. Yeah, it could be in a seed tray.
Are they quite kind of
robust,
just quite easy, robust.
Honestly, but don't sow them too early because then they're not hardy, so you can't put them out into your garden till your frosts are finished. And here, that is normally last week of April, beginning of May, and you really don't want to sow them till about 4 weeks before that. Otherwise, they'll end up getting pot bound. So we tend to do them quite late in March or even early April. And just like Jemima says, is pinch out the tips when you get to the three leaf stage. And that will make them chunk up a bit, which is what you want. But they're dead easy. Sometimes if all the conditions are right and the seed is warm, moist and dark, which you can create by putting in a seed tray, just covering it with a bin liner or whatever and just giving it a little bit of basal heat, you can get them to germinate literally overnight. I mean, I have in the past. And then they just grow on so quickly. So they're a really, just like the scabious, they're a gift. And as a beginner, I would passionately recommend them.
And one thing that we've not really talked about, but it is quite often talked about when it comes to seed sowing, is thinning out. I feel like your philosophy is to treat your seed as gold dust. So you really almost shouldn't have to thin out. But are there occasions, obviously, with really small, tiny seeds?
Yes.
Actually,
so the things, exactly as you say, that are like dust. So the two things that immediately spring to mind with me are the tobacco family, the Nicotiana family, are really, really minuscule seed. And you just can't sow them individually. So you have to just sow them really quickly over a big surface area. And then you get quite even distribution. And also foxgloves are really tiny. So those are the two. But they're biennial. So we'll come on to them because they're not maybe so perfect for beginners because they need to be grown for a year before they flower.
Another time. Okay, then moving on to, this is a perennial grass, but which I think It's nice to have something that you don't have to think about every year, and you just have to kind of chop it back at the end of or in spring or early autumn. So I love Casmanthium latifolium. It's a really lovely, it looks like it's kind of wheat that's been rolled over by a tractor, and it's just very elegant and it kind of floats in the wind, and it dries really nicely at Christmas time. So I really love it, but I know lots of people quite often say that they struggle to get it to germinate and that you have to be incredibly patient with it. But maybe you've got some tips and tricks for that, because I know it's a tricky one.
So yeah, the thing with Casmanthium is that because it's perennial, you have to force it out of dormancy. And how you basically do that is you either sow it in the autumn and it has a whole winter of cold that then breaks its dormancy and it germinates in the spring. So, you know, you can sow it anytime, September sort of ideal, but anytime.
And it will do nothing over the winter. It will
And so you'll think it's not going to happen, but you have to be patient. Or what we do here, what Josie does, is that she'll sow it in a seed tray, and then she actually puts the whole seed tray in the fridge for a couple of weeks and then brings it out. So then again, it thinks it's had winter. It's fooled into thinking it's had a whole winter. So then it thinks it's spring as it comes into the warmth and it will germinate. So I love it too. And Arthur Parkinson, who actually Jemima just referred to, has just been doing an experiment with it in a pot. And he has found that it's more flowery in dappled shade than it is in full sun. And whether that's because it dries out too much. But anyway, what a lovely, elegant thing to have in a pot, because it's got these beautiful arching stems, which, as Jemima says, are topped with these lovely sort of flickery, beautiful, moving grass heads like oats.
That's good news for those in small gardens where you don't necessarily get too much sun and where you're gardening in pots, which is so nice because it's quite unusual to have kind of big perennial grasses in a pot. And maybe this isn't worth including, but sometimes in the first year you won't get seed heads. Is that right?
Very important to include. Really important. It's absolutely right that it will form a tussock grass and you may get a few heads, but don't give up on it because it's perennial. And the more established and the bigger the clumps get, the more it flowers. So it really is one of those things that you just got to bear with. But I promise you, as Jemima says, it's incredibly well worth it.
Well worth it. I pinched it from Perch Hill after events, and I need to grow my own because it's not so easily accessible. Okay, I love Anethum graveolens, so dill, I love the umbel kind of form of it. I love the colour. I love that it's kind of acid green, which paired with a lot of these other things that I want to grow, scabious, cosmos, the zinnia, it's just such a good kind of pop of acid green, which just livens it all up a bit. I could use it in the kitchen. So it's good, kind of, it's an edible in some ways as well. I think it's got amazing fast life. And is it a short-lived perennial but grown as an annual?
No, I think it's an annual. I think it's a hardy annual. Yeah, but not the hardiest of them. So I would say it's one of the few things on your list that I would definitely encourage you to sow direct. So you literally just scrape the soil at the front of a border and sort of running back to the back and just sort of break up the soil surface so it's not too coarse and lumpy, and then just chuck it straight in. And it will germinate really rapidly, and then you will need to thin a little bit, but you want to do that carefully. So for every seedling that germinates, you want to try and leave a space between one and the next of sort of 3 inches type thing. So I don't know, you know, a few centimetres, and then it'll grow on very happily. And whenever you thin, you need to just firm down the soil around the plants that you leave behind so that their roots aren't in the air. So but I would just, direct sow it thin and then leave it to grow. It does need support. So either have it growing up through other things that will support it, or perhaps just do some little branches that you can harvest from one of your trees and just stick them down low to have it growing up through.
And it does self-seed.
Yes.
Does it self-seed very aggressively, or is it
aggressively. Really, really containable. And so it's a lovely thing to introduce into your garden, and you'll see it coming up from then afterwards.
Yeah, I think the combination of the foliage and the acid flower, I just love. Mm. Okay, on to our next one, which I've got the Icelandic poppies, the champagne bubbles mix. I just think they are like tissue paper flowers and beautiful kind of pinks, oranges, apricots, wonky stems, beautiful little flower heads. And I think they're great in pots or, you know, also on the edges of borders. And they keep kind of going. The more you pick, they do have a long flowering time. So it's not the cheapest packet of seed either, is it? But it's well worth it because they just keep going on and on and on. And I just think they're so beautiful. And they have a quite a good vase life as well if they're seared.
Yeah, good. Very true.
But I think they are true. Poppies are notoriously tricky, aren't they? So what can I do to have success?
You're right, they are. I would do them in a seed tray. They don't like root disturbance. So again, if you can, they are quite dust-like, but if you can possibly sow them as thinly as you can, then what I would do is I would just thin them down to, again, rather like we said with the dill in the garden, to a seedling that is coming up every kind of inch and a half or whatever. And then with your dessert spoon, again, don't bother to prick them out and put them into another pot. Just literally ease out that seedling and its roots and plop it straight into the greenhouse or a pot or whatever. And that way you will get minimal root disturbance. You can do them in jiffies. That's another option. So just like we said with the zinnias, that would be your other thing. But I find you mustn't bury them too deep in the jiffy because they're this dust-like seed. So you just, and it's very difficult to get them singly. That's the problem. So that's why they are, of your whole list, they're probably the thing that I would say maybe get seedlings for that and let one of the experts do it for you, just because they are a bit of a fiddle. So possibly one to get in through the post or go to the local garden centre.
Or give it a go and take on the challenge, but not be too hard on myself if I fail.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is, you're moving to the University of Seed Sowing to succeed with all your champagne bubbles.
But yeah, they are beautiful. And we always have them at Purchill because you obviously have the space in the glasshouse. So they're planted out in autumn and then we have them to cut kind of pretty early in the year, which is very nice. Okay, then Helianthus sunflower, Ruby Eclipse. I love the kind of apricot-y, coffee, crimson-y colour of these. I love the big, bright yellow sunflowers as well. I think they're super happy and lovely, but I think this is what I'd have in my garden. But in terms of having a small, if you've got a small space, you do want to have a few together rather than the odd one popping up looking like the odd one out. So it's maybe not so amazing in a small garden, but in terms of easy care, sunflowers are amazing for kind of getting you going on seed sowing, I would say, if you agree.
Yeah, and I love them in a small garden actually because they're sort of like parakeets, although I know they're controversial, but they feel like so glamorous and they are so easy to grow. And then you have these amazing parrots that somehow flower all summer and right through into the autumn. And you, again, you can direct sow them, but probably easiest of all, one seed straight into a little pot. So just get some little pots and put one seed vertically straight down. Those will germinate in 3 to 4 days, plant them out 2 weeks later, and that's it. Pinch out the tip, which feels really weird because it feels like you're almost killing it. But once they've got 3 pairs of leaves, if you just want to pinch out the tip, you don't have to, but it does make them flower longer and produce more flower, makes them bushier. But Ruby Eclipse, I agree with you, absolutely love. And it's quite good because it's not too giant.
Yeah, and do you ever pinch them out? So once you've planted them out and they're actually got quite a good growth, would you ever pinch them out further along the line so you get really loads of heads, or does it not work like that?
Yeah, you can. I would try and do it at sort of the 3-leaf stage, which often with a sunflower, to be honest, can be 45 centimetres. I mean, you know, they can have got quite tall by the time they've developed 3 leaves, but then pinch them and then they will branch. And then the thing is, rather than pinching them out again, stop picking them, you know, start harvesting them. And again, don't pick the flowering stem, the individual flowering stem that you're going for, right down to the main stem. Always leave a pair of leaves below where you cut, because those will form axillary buds. And just like pinching out, you will then get this nice rolling production of beautiful sunflowers that you can pick for the house, and it will continue their flowering longer in the garden.
Yeah. I didn't realise they germinated so quickly.
Yeah, they can be super quick. And so I wouldn't sow them until April, probably.
Okay. Right. My last one, I couldn't have a list of 12 and not have sweet peas on here, because they are amazing, as we know, and they give so much scent, and you can pick them and pick them and pick them, and they are fab. So I've got a few different varieties that I was just having a look at earlier that I think if I was to grow in my garden, I'd maybe have. I've got, what have I got here? Prince of Orange, Scarlet, Kupani, and Beaujolais were the ones I picked.
So all the strong colours. Lovely. Yeah. Lovely, lovely.
And so those we are, you can sow them into kind of early in the year and in spring, but ideally you're sowing them as early as possible, maybe even in December if you can.
Yes, yes. December, January or February is when I would recommend sowing them. But you can genuinely sow them March, April. They'll just flower a bit later. And always, as you know, sow them in a root trainer.
So that is, the root trainers are like the modern day answer to sowing them in a loo roll.
Yeah.
It encourages the long root run, which they need to be strong. And so, I mean, they're amazing in small spaces because they grow up and they climb. So they do they need full sun, would you say?
Yeah, full sun they love. And I have to say, they do not love a pot unless you feed and water them meticulously. So I would try and get them in the ground and have them climbing up and over a teepee or over your boundary fence with your neighbour or over your shed or over a shrub. But they need to be in the sun. Yeah.
And they're hungry. So lots of food if you can get it.
Yeah. Good. Well, what a lovely list, Jemima. I think that is absolutely fantastic. That feels really doable and really life enhancing. You've got cut flowers here. You've got edible flowers here. You've got perennials here. You've got winter flowers like the viola here. What a great selection. That was so nice chatting that through.
Better get going.
Yep. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Grow Cookie to Range. And it was lovely introducing Jemima Bowker, who is going to be leading our beginner gardening sort of club, I guess, in a way, giving advice for people who are just starting out and have perhaps small urban spaces. Next week, we're going to talk about a big rural space. We're going to talk about rewilding at NEP. But actually from a gardening perspective with Charlie Harper and Adam, my husband. So I think it's going to be a really interesting talk. So join me then. You can find more information, photos and advice sheets on all the plants and recipes we talk about on this podcast by heading to the show notes or at sarahraven.com/podcast.